When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? All right, mic check. We are back.
We're back, baby.
Season 2 of the Helipod. Took a little summer respite. And what better way to launch season 2 than with my Fantasy Zone partners, James Coe.
What's cracking?
In the house. Hey, buddy. Good to see you as always. And the guru, John Hansen, all the way from the East Coast here.
That's right.
As well.
East Coast representing. Can always. I be like the Biggie Smalls of this here circle?
Yeah, sure you can. Whatever you want to be.
Okay. I'm James sure. Tupac?
No.
I'd like to be somebody who's still alive. Is that okay? Can I do that?
You could be MC Hammer.
Okay.
That's
I used to have those pants. Yeah. Bubar had those pants. Matthew Bubar, our crack researcher on the Fantasy Zone on DirecTV. Also a key member of the Helipod.
Back
joined
at
down
it.
With me and MJD last year. Good to see you, bro.
You too. You too, Dan.
All right. Well, let's do this because we are here on a Sunday recording this as we speak at the DirecTV studios, getting ready to run through a rehearsal with the three of us and
back
our
in the saddle,
counterpart,
baby.
Lindsay Rhodes. Yeah. It is another year, and we have 18 weeks of football this
year.
Let's go. So I've already had one fantasy draft. My asshole friends from Tennessee decided to have it last week, and I still have not mastered the auction draft.
Oh, nice.
Mm. And naturally, J.K. Dobbins was my second running
no.
back off the board after Jonathan
no.
Taylor. Paid a pretty penny for him, $34 in a $200 pool.
That hurts.
Yeah, so that's painful. Do you guys have any real drafts anymore where you – gather somewhere in Vegas or whether it's here in LA or in Philly, guru, and have a real draft board. You're drinking beers and you're hanging out. Does that even happen anymore?
We used to, man. Like, I'm in this league, big money league, and we've been doing it for a long time. And I would say, I mean, for years, like 10 years in a row, it's like we would hire a sticker girl.
A sticker girl?
Yeah, dude. She would just put up the stickers, dude. It was
great. Sounds amazing.
It's amazing, man. So, like, yeah, we would hire our sticker girl. We'd have booze. We'd have all kinds of fixings, man. But, yeah, you know what, man? After everyone started getting married and, you know.
Kids screwed it up.
Game over.
Yeah.
It's game over. We tried to even do it on Zoom. Nah. Just this doesn't work, you know.
Guru?
No, not me. I've been doing this for so long that when I was really getting started in the 90s, when I was still in my, like, for example, local league, the league I started playing fantasy in, people were so mad they thought I was literally cheating because it was like my full-time job. I'm like, really, guys? Like, you do know I don't have access to the future, right? My last name's not Kreskin, or I'm not Nostradamus, maybe Nostradamus, but no. So that league disbanded literally because people thought I had an unfair advantage.
Because it was your job.
Because it was my job.
Well, yeah, my friends know that I don't have an unfair advantage because it is my job, and I still suck generally in that league.
Yeah. I think I won the league. I think it was like 4 years in a row, and they were like, yeah, we're out. And then the infighting started. But to answer the question, I bring this up all the time. Like, I get callers to my SiriusXM radio show. They're all excited about their draft. And like James said, you know, they got everything set up. And I've done broadcasts at like draft parties and things like that. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, I miss it. Like, I totally miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a job. So I don't have fun this time of the year. Dan, there's no fun when you're a fantasy guy.
I know Bubar had a real live draft in person.
I did this past Wednesday. Decided to start a new league with work, and we all got there in person, and it was awesome. In fact, a second league that I do, they're all in Vegas today for the draft. I'll be doing it on my computer, but they still get together. It is the 24th year of this draft, and they still try and get together every year.
Bubar, you're like fucking 32 years old.
I know.
You, listen, you started fantasy when you were six?
Listen, like John always says, I started when I was still in the womb. My mom started teaching me at a young age, you know?
Let me tell you something. You have a job today, and it's to support us during the rehearsal. And if I see you slacking because of your draft.
This will not happen.
We're going to have some issues.
We can multitask.
Nah,
we'll be good.
No, nah, screw I hope you are slacking. What are you talking about,
you see,
bro?
If I slack, then James is going to know what it's about. And he's going to go, don't worry, man. You're cool.
Priorities, dude. You gotta get that draft going, dude.
I've got my fantasy points cheat sheets right here.
Oh, I know. Look at that. Look at that cheap plug. Wow.
You're talking fantasypoints.com.
That's the one.
Oh, okay.
In case you don't know and you're not familiar with, it really is my go-to source for fantasy information. John Hansen started the website 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This is the second season of fantasypoints.com. It's outstanding. Right. And I am not only plugging this because I have a free lifetime membership, which was my secret Santa gift before the website even started.
Greatest gift ever.
It was unbelievable. Now I have to call him every year and remind him that I have a free lifetime membership.
True.
But
that
you know,
I've set a reminder on my phone though.
What is the best draft philosophy when you're going in, Co? Like, do you have a philosophy and you stick to it hard and fast, or does the way that the draft falls dictate how you draft players?
Yeah, I think that's basically the way you go, right? Like, you can't go in there with a zero RB, you know, mindset, and then, like, let's say, like, I don't know, Dalvin Cook somehow miraculously falls to you at, like, 7 or 8, you know? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to pass up on just because you really want to stick with zero RB? It doesn't make sense, you know?
Right.
So, you kind of just sort of let the draft fall to you, and like, the longer I've been doing this, John, I don't know how you feel, man, but it's just kind of like, just draft good players.
Oh, I've been saying that for 25 years.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so people would ask me back in the day, what's your strategy? I'm like, I draft good players.
Yeah, you know? And it's just kind of like, and like these hardheads that are just so like, no, you can't draft. You got to go zero RB. You got to go hero RB. You got to, you know, it's like, I'm like, just draft good players and you're fine.
Yeah. I would add on to that, Dan, just I'm always cognizant of position scarcity, if you will. So I'm trying to suck some value out of all my picks here. So, for example, running backs have been getting a lot more love lately. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, let's get into the running back business. Wide receiver is very deep, deeper than ever. So that's not a position where it's a huge priority. I'm willing, you know, to take 2 or 3 with my first 5, 6 picks if they're the best players on the board. And then take it from there. Quarterback is a position where I think your best chance to form the best team is to wait on that position a little bit, get a Justin Fields. You and I, see, are on the same page with Baker Mayfield. A tight end is, a little top-heavy, but you can understand the advantage that you have if you get a Darren Waller in the second round compared to everybody else on at that position. That is also a position scarcity type approach here. So that's it in a nutshell. Draft good players and try to get value by looking at the position scarcity.
Right. In most leagues now, I feel like there's 6 or 7 running backs easily off the board right from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the top tier guys, you know, tier one guys, is Saquon the biggest question mark for you?
I don't even have him in the top 10. I think the injury concerns are pretty significant. You know, I would take guys like Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill ahead of Saquon. I think at this point, like, we're so far, like, we're 2 full seasons removed from his 2,000-yard campaign, right? So it's like, I get it. He is a special player. But at this point, too, and this is what I've been saying, Dan, like, we're in the part of the season where injury optimism is at its absolute peak. And Saquon Barkley and the Giants are not giving you that. And so that, to me, is a big red flag. You know, it's like, how recovered is he? And so I'm a little bit worried there.
Bubar, hold, before you go, Bubar was in a draft recently. He told me about this before the show.
This
Saquon fell to him at 10.
He did?
And he's like, I got to take Saquon.
I had to take him.
And I actually kind of agree with that. Like, if you have to take a fly at 10.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I get where James is talking to.
I do, too. Totally.
Because, I mean, you know, Joe Judge just said this past week that they still don't know if he's going to be ready for week one.
Right.
So that's, to me, that was the first bad news this entire offseason on Saquon. Everything you heard about him, in my opinion, was actually good news. They were increasing his workload. He was appearing more at practice. He was working more in 7-on-7s. They've given him more and more, which is great. But hearing this about week one, sure. I mean, there's some trepidation there of taking him high, but at the same time, I also know I get one extra week. right. and having another week, I don't have to freak out if he's not doing well by week two. I know that I'm going to get at least one more week in the regular season, and based on what his ceiling is, it was hard to pass on him.
I think we tend to forget how long of a season it is. I mean, we're sitting here recording this on the 29th, 2 weeks from today. We still do have 2 weeks from the opener. And, of course, an extra game, and it's going to be like it's seemingly like 10 years in the future. But then we'll think we'll look back in December on this podcast. So that was a lifetime ago. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like we've had six seasons within the season since
five
we did that.
Week five is going to feel like 3 years from what it is today.
Yeah, I will say this, very simple, and I don't think it's, taking the easy way out with a guy like Saquon. It really is about your approach and your expectations. You know, for most people out there, you don't want to screw up your first round pick. So in that regard, I'd be a little more cautious.
Right.
But, you know, if you're looking to take down a big, high stakes league, it's risk it, no biscuit. You know what I mean? Like, you got to risk it. So you got to go for the gusto. So a guy like Saquon, if I'm swinging for the fences, you know, I'll take him at 7, 8. If he falls, obviously, that's ideal.
Right.
But, again, for most people, you got to balance that out there. And I might just say, you know what, just give me Aaron Jones. I mean, I trust Aaron Jones a little bit more. So I your expectations, I think, should play into Barkley.
Common thought is that you don't need to grab a quarterback in the first five rounds unless it's Mahomes or maybe Josh Allen being the exceptions. Would you agree with that, Guru?
Yeah, I would. I would. I always say, like, there was always that little drop-off around 50, 60 players where you're like, all right, I know it's not ideal to take a quarterback here.
Yeah, right.
I don't love the running backs. I mean, there's a lot of sameness at wide receiver. I don't see a good tight end standing out. You know, the big guys are off the board.
Right.
Fifth
what are you going to take? What are you going to take? Mark
fifth.
Andrews
like,
or Josh
what?
Allen? You know, it's like, give me Josh Allen.
Or in this case, this year, I think more, realistic would be, you know what, give me Lamar.
Right.
You
sure.
Know? But otherwise, I think to default to holding off and get a little bit more value is ideal.
Let's talk about the rookie quarterbacks for a minute. And obviously the evolution here is to the guys that can move and – you look at all these young guys coming in this year, from Trevor Lawrence to Justin Fields. I got a chance to see Justin Fields in Nashville last night. He wasn't spectacular, but he looked pretty good. And you can see the tools that are there. Obviously, Trey Lance. I think the fantasy points projections have all those guys, Lawrence, Fields, and Lance, ahead of Big Ben, Matt Ryan, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Derek Carr. And those are guys that may not be playing right away, right? At least two out of the three.
Right.
So that's an interesting thought there. I mean, we're not talking necessarily about just keeper leagues. We're talking about your projections for this season.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's the cheat code, guys, man. Like, if Trey Lance doesn't start till week seven, he's probably still going to go down as a damn good pick. You know, so you just have to get that contingency plan. And, you know, Baker, I think, is a great one for that. And I think Justin Fields will start earlier, but – you know, it's that balancing act. It's about, and I've always preached this too, like, it's about high-impact players. So I'm willing to overpay a little bit for Lance or Fields because guess what, guys? At the end of the day, they will be top 12 quarterbacks in November and December in money time. I mean, that's pretty much guaranteed.
You're talking about on a weekly basis, not like if you were to accumulate all their points, right?
Not total points, yeah. Absolutely.
Week,
going
week
forward.
Week-by-week basis, right?
100%. Yeah, totally. You know, even just looking at my projection, if you project the Niner quarterback in terms of what I have for Jimmy G and Lance, and I the projections are based on number of games played, so it works out. It's like QB8.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Fields is good, though. I mean, his first pass was just a little touch check down to the running back, but I thought it was beautiful because he showed some patience.
A lot of poise.
He took a little bit off the throw. Yeah. I mean, Lance is out there throwing fastballs. The dude's 4 yards away still. So you got to worry about that a little bit.
Like, I think Lance needs a little bit more seasoning.
He does. No doubt about it.
I mean, he didn't even play football. He played one game last year.
I know.
So he's got a ways to go. He's only a one-year starter too, right? Like, it's not like he's got a ton of experience under his belt. So I know he's a film junkie. Like, everyone talks about this kid's work ethic, and that's great.
Yeah.
But does it translate in year one? I don't know, man. I'm a little hesitant.
It's tricky, though, because the scheme is so damn good. They could scheme it up and get guys open, and he's so gifted that it could work out right away.
Right.
But there's no pressure to start him. Like, there will be pressure in Chicago with Andy
there
Dalton.
Will be. There already is.
I exactly. Mean, yeah.
It's unbelievable the amount of pressure
totally.
They have.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, everybody just totally just dumping on Andy Dalton. I mean, this is a guy who has made three Pro Bowls, who's gotten to the playoffs before. He's been a solid NFL quarterback, but they're talking about him like he's, you know, 50% of what Trent Dilfer was at his worst.
Well, it's also too, I think, if you were to ask a lot of Bears fans, the second after they drafted Fields, they might tell you that Justin Fields is the most athletic quarterback that the Bears have ever drafted. That he's already.
I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Yeah. No. So I think the hype on him is so high because of just what they haven't had. Yeah, they haven't had anything. So I think just it's so wide eyed at the possibility of what he could do that I think that spills over into why some people are even booing Dalton because.
Well, you know the big problem for me with Dalton is that last year he had a good collection of offensive talent and he looked like trash.
He looked terrible last year. Although Zeke didn't do anything, but Tony Pollard stepped up.
Yeah, I mean, but still, you look at the receiving
good.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and he did nothing. Yeah. He did absolutely nothing. So it's kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, we love Allen Robinson, and I think Darnell Mooney's a really great sleeper. But it's just kind of like, you need an athletic quarterback, I think, to kind of sort of unlock this offense, man. I think they've got some question marks on the offensive line, and they just need somebody to make plays, and I think Fields is that guy.
It's just like fantasy. Like, are we really excited about taking, you know,
Matt Ryan.
David Johnson?
Let me answer that for you. So, no.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, right. We respect you, Andy. All that good stuff, Red Rifle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're not a high-impact guy, and that's what we want.
Right.
Time for a quick break to tell you about a couple of our sponsors. The first is Greens Plus, a leader since 1989, known for creating the first ever blended green superfood powder and the first company to infuse that green superfood powder into a bar. Greens Plus bars and powders are the best tasting, most effective way to improve your immunity, detox your body, boost your energy, and get that nutritional insurance that your body needs from organic, gluten-free, premium green superfoods. You can get it at Whole Foods, Amazon, or greensplus.com. We're going to give you free shipping and 20% off today if you use the promo code HELLY. That's greensplus.com. Also wanted to tell you about VACO. That's V-A-C-O. At VACO, they invest in your career, so you are here for the duration of theirs. VACO is a premier talent and solutions firm that provides boutique-level service with global reach in the areas of consulting, consultative project resources, executive search, permanent placement, and strategic staffing. Areas of expertise include C-suite search, accounting, finance, technology, healthcare IT, operations, administration, and international managed services. Founded by my good buddy Brian Waller and a couple of his friends. In 2002, VACO has grown to serve over 40 markets across the globe. They have 1,000 employees, 5,000 consultants, and $750 million in revenue. Check them out at VACO.com. That's VACO.com for more info on how VACO connects people to their dream jobs and helps leading companies find talent to grow their businesses. You were talking about tight ends earlier. Kelce, the only dude I think that's going in the first round in most drafts. Then you have Waller and Kittle. Kyle Pitts, obviously a wild card there because just has oodles of potential. But after that, there's 9 or 10 guys that are a coin flip. One guy that I really liked, and now he's banged up, of course, is Irv Smith. I thought he could take a leap in Minnesota this year. Who are some tight ends that are in that kind of tier two-ish area that have potential to exceed maybe the ceiling that most people think they have, Guru?
Well, you start it with Hockenson, of course. I've got him at tight end 4. His ADP is 5. Having with 75 grabs, that would be 4th. In the league behind the big three, Kelce, Waller, Kittle. Clicking with Jared Goff, going to be the go-to guy there, really good football player. Things work out well. He could really flirt with a top three finish, so it's kind of the best of both worlds. Mark Andrews now, especially with Dobbins down. We know Lamar loves throwing in the middle of the field. Obviously,
right.
Pitts is a wild card, but I'm going to go with a yes still on Pitts. I think Arthur Smith will do very well utilizing him. And then down the board a little bit, I think my number one guy in terms of, I do love Jonnu Smith. We can get into him, but like, I like Logan Thomas as like a great best of both worlds guy. Like, you're not going to pay a huge price for him, get him right. in like the eighth or ninth round, right. and they love him. I mean, he's got some limitations, but man, he's a freight train, man. That dude is
he's
big
athletic, man.
And he can run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kyle Pitts for me is kind of like in his own tier. You know, it's like you got the big three off the top, and then right after that for me is Pitts, and it's like part of it is talent. That's fine, but most of it is just target share. Like, there's nobody else there. They've got Calvin Ridley and no one.
Don't sleep on Russell Gage.
No, I'm not. I'm sleeping on him all day. Like,
he's literally the most boring pick on the board this year, I believe.
It's like, and I
get
it.
He'll get 70, though.
You know, I don't know what he's going to do, but, you know, it's like, again, he's a slot guy, and I'm not terribly enamored with drafting too many slot players. And then, you know, they had an unproven, like, Olamide Zaccheaus on the outside. Like, who else is going to catch passes, you know? It's like Kyle Pitts immediately enters the conversation as the second most athletic, you know, pass catcher they got outside of Calvin Ridley. So I think he walks into a huge target share. I'm with everybody else with T.J. Hockenson. I mean, if it's not his year this year, it's just not going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, other guys like Noah Fant, too, I think are interesting, you know? So, especially with Teddy Bridgewater now there at the starting quarterback position.
Yeah, there's so many guys where I want to like them, and then I look at who's throwing them the football. And I guess for tight ends, that's not as bad as it would be for a receiver right on the outside, because you guys, if you have the check down guys, they're going to look at the tight end a little bit more. What about you, B-Bars? Somebody you love?
Selfishly, I kind of wish that the Eagles had found a trade partner for Zach Ertz, because I love Dallas Goedert. I think that he's got such potential to be a guy in the conversation with the top three. I just find him to be fascinating. And then I've always had a soft spot for Noah Fant. I've always liked the way how hard Noah plays. It's just unfortunate that he's gotten hurt all the time. It's just whether it's bad luck or whether he's, quote, injury prone, I like Noah. I just think that it's – and on a team like Denver, you know, naming Teddy the starter, you're hoping to see a little bit better quarterback play. So you're hoping to see Noah take another step. So I've always liked those two. And then to round it out, I'm hopeful to see what Mike Gesicki does this year after ending the year last year on a high note. I'd love to see what he could do too.
Just didn't get a lot of targets there in the middle of the season.
Well, that's the problem.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, I start calling him Flash Gesicki because the dude flashes. Like, wow.
He's got
like, man,
all the talent.
He's Travis Kelce. And then they throw the next three passes to the tight ends, and it's like Shaheen and Durham Smythe. Like, he doesn't truly command the ball. Then they drafted Long, who will replace him likely. It's a walk year for Gesicki, but he is a little frustrating. But I do have a good vibe overall in the Dolphins passing game with Tua.
I'm just trying to find that next Tonyan, right? Who is that going to be?
Some super rando guy?
Just a guy who's going to catch 10, 11 touchdowns. You know, maybe it's Everett in Seattle, feel like also, it seems like that would make a lot of sense.
I'll give you the deep play. You go in New Orleans. I mean, Adam Troutman just got dinged up. They really like Juwan Johnson.
That's deep, though, man.
That is very deep.
But if he has an issue and Traquan, you know, they love Callaway, but if they can't get their other pass catchers up on board, they're going to have to look for someone else other than Kamara. Kamara can't catch 140 balls.
In New Orleans, man, like, and just because I love chaos, dude, like, I would love for Taysom Hill to get a starting nod at tight end.
Oh, that'd be great.
And the fantasy platforms have to give him that tight end designation.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Taysom Hill as a tight end. It's like... He immediately enters the conversation as like a potential top five guy because he's going to give you passing stats too, you know?
Yep.
It's like, and the fantasy world would just be so upset with
that. That would be great.
You know? It would be awesome.
And the takes would be so varied too. Like you'd have one person say, this is a must get, you have to, and you have another person saying, he's past it, don't worry.
I'd go Jonnu as maybe that guy. We all know they love Jonnu. We all know he's very athletic and all that, but, you know, guy I talked to up there and really respect his opinion. He's like, he said it twice. He said it in early August, came on the SiriusXM show, Andy Hart from WEEI up there in Beantown. And then he said it late August. It was just this week where, based on what he's seen, and he knows what the hell he's looking at in practice, the passing game will be built around Jonnu. And it's going to be Mac Jones starting probably 12-plus games. And that's pretty good right there.
Jonnu came out of the gates with a quickness last year, if you remember, and then he faded, and everybody was, what's going on?
Right.
What went on was that Taylor Lewan went down. Yeah. And he had to stay in and block a
little.
Totally.
Right. Exactly.
They had to keep him in. Yep. So his receiving numbers went down.
Totally.
It was not a reflection of him performing
not
poorly.
At all.
He
That's
just
a great
didn't
point.
Get as many targets
not
there.
Not at all.
I got, before we move off tight end, my two kind of deeper sleepers there, the guy who's replacing Jonnu in Tennessee, Anthony Firkser, because I believe he's going to see a lot of red zone targets.
Like it.
You got Julio, you got AJ, and you got DH. In the backfield. So you got a lot of people you're going to be looking at stopping. I think he's going to slip through the cracks there. And my deep sleeper, Dawson Knox in Buffalo.
Okay.
He's been working with Josh Allen in the offseason. He's been working with a hand-eye coordination guy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of drops his first year, a few drops last year, and supposedly that's getting a lot better.
He's a great kid. I interviewed him before. He's a great dude, and you root for him. He's very athletic. But how often do we hear, he got LASIK. Oh, he's seeing hand eyes. It never works. It never, ever works. Like the effort, though.
You do.
Give him a need
effort.
For effort.
Yes, absolutely.
100%. All right, we got to jump here pretty quickly. So wide receiver, tier one guys are clear. A lot of shuffling in tier two. The name I'm constantly hearing, like every guy is on this dude, is CeeDee Lamb. Everybody, which makes me immediately want to run the other way. But second-year wide receivers historically make a big jump, right? Justin Jefferson already made that jump as a rookie, but you got CD and T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk and Claypool, Jerry Jeudy, Pittman. I mean, there's a bunch. Mooney, we talked about earlier, Jalen Reagor. Is there one of these guys, Co, that you really like?
I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he can absolutely make the leap, going into his second season. He profiles, when you take a look at some of the advanced analytics, and actually my business partner and I, with Reception Perception, did a profile on Ayuk. And Ayuk,
you can say Matt Harmon's name. You
can
say his name. Harmon.
Our boy Harmon, baby.
Plugfest 2021 continues.
Exactly. I love it.
Coming at you.
But, Ayuk actually profiles as a dominant X receiver, and he looks and his analytics tell you that he actually profiles a lot like A.J. Green in his prime. And this is a guy that you're getting in the sixth round. Sign me up for that all day long.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I go Jeudy. I'm all in on Jeudy.
Yeah.
Love that player.
Yeah, yeah.
I said it all last year. When you pop on the tape, the guy's always open. Always. And we know he dropped a lot of balls.
Oh, my God.
He also led the league with uncatchable targets.
46% catch rate last year. 46%.
But just 65% of his total targets were deemed catchable,
right,
which was the second lowest rate among 196 wide receivers with at least 70 targets.
Yeah.
I'd probably be frustrated if I'm, playing with a Drew Lock. Let's be honest here. So I think Teddy will get him the ball and let him be an athlete after the catch. And, there were only two quarterbacks to support three top 25 receivers last year. One of them was Tom Brady, and the other one was Mr. Teddy Bridgewater with Samuel, Robbie, and DJ Moore. So, yeah, all in on Jeudy. Love him. There's so many of them in this group that I love, though.
Yeah, me too.
I'm all in on Claypool as well.
Last
year I loved Deontay. You guys were there for that.
Yeah.
You're all over it.
Yeah.
And Claypool, I'm telling you, Claypool is a freaking baller.
Yeah.
I mean,
beast athlete.
Talk about the real deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess, what are your thoughts on CeeDee Lamb? It's funny to me because he is being drafted right now, in my opinion, at his absolute ceiling. There's no room for profit when you're drafting him in the middle or upper third round to me. It's like, and it's people say like, well, he's a better player than Amari. And I'm like, I get it. That's fine. I totally agree. Unfortunately, this is a human game. It's not a video game, right? And Amari Cooper has a pre-existing relationship with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott loves this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, I don't know, man. Like, he might be the top target getter in Dallas. But to exceed that third round price, you not only have to be the top pass catcher on your team, but then a dominant pass catcher on your team.
1,300 yards, maybe double-digit touchdowns.
I guess I just don't see that, man. And there are so many people in this space that feel extremely...
They're standing on the table for him. Every time I turn on a show, it's CeeDee Lamb this, CeeDee Lamb. I'm like, I get it. I'm same line of thought as you.
Yeah.
Bubar, wide receiver, second-year guy.
I mean, John took mine. I'm a big fan of Jeudy. I thought that Jeudy was a top-five route runner last year in the NFL. I know he had those drops. I'm just looking for him to take the biggest leap of almost any second-year wideout. I like him a tremendous amount. I'm hesitant on. It's tough to pick one between between Claypool and Ayuk. I also like to go with Brandon. I'll just piggyback off of what the guy said. I think that those two could really excel into the tier one wide receiver come next year, or even as we are, you know, week 10, 11, 12 of this year. I think you could talk about those two.
You give me one wide receiver from the Steelers, and I'm going Claypool. Like that would be my number one draft pick
as
from
a Browns
the Steelers
fan.
Wide receiving core.
Chase would be the guy.
Most overrated any position. Co.
Oh man, CD is up there for me. I guess I just have a lot of hesitation drafting Derrick Henry that early. You know,
that's a dagger to my heart. Right
I
now.
Know,
you know
but
that, right?
It's the curse of 370. He had 380 touches or whatever it was last year. He had a ton, and it's just look, he's got 850 touches over his last two seasons. Man, I get it. He's different. He's built different. I agree. But there's a lot of evidence showing that when running backs get that level of work, they're either going to fall off a cliff the next year, or at least for sure you're going to see them fall off a cliff in 2 years.
We've seen it happen a lot, especially with guys over 400 carries. Last guy to get over 400 carries, DeMarco Murray, that year in Dallas.
I know, and he completely fell off.
And he came back and resurrected himself a little bit when he got to Tennessee.
Yeah, but that was 2 years after.
Right, that was. And then that year in Philadelphia, totally lost year. Guru?
I'm going to go Austin Eckler, James Cole.
Oh, don't do it. John A.
That's between him
John
and Eckler.
John A.
Does the fantasy industry as a whole want to marry Austin Eckler?
Well, yes. Because he's embraced it. He's signing jerseys to people that can show he has them on the fantasy team.
He's a fantasy analyst now.
It's amazing.
He's working over at Yahoo Sports as a fantasy
analyst.
Is that right? That's amazing.
Good for him. He's like MJD. He's embraced it.
Exactly.
Well, fine. Look, I get it. He's incredible, but are you taking him at 10 overall when you have high volume, very talented guys in that mix? I don't see that. I'm taking our guy Antonio Gibson over him a million times out of a million.
Really? That
literally
makes me
1
feel
million
good?
1 million times out of a million.
Wow, that's I'm looking at your rankings right now. You actually have him at 10. Bubar, what do you have?
Overrated. Well, those are not mine. It's a little bit more of a think tank there on the for the company.
I'm sorry. I got to go Kyle Pitts. Okay. I think Kyle's.
I don't hate that.
I just
makes sense.
Rookie tight end
takes forever to develop.
It's so hard as a rookie. Now I know opportunity plus availability equals fantasy points. We all know that, but with Kyle, I'm just a little bit hesitant that I'm going to have to draft him at a very, very early pick in round 5. Whereas I could look, if I didn't feel comfortable with him, I could pivot over to a quarterback. I could pivot over to a number 3 wide receiver or a number 3 running back and still be perfectly comfortable getting other guys like guys rated after him, like Tanyan, like Logan Thomas, like Dallas Goedert, like Janu. I'd be fine with any.
They're
of
all
those
bunched
guys
together in the tight end position. Yep. All right, I got a call from Trevor Dell, who's our stage manager, who's telling me that we need to get our asses out.
No.
But I do need rapid fire. Yes. Okay, 2 or 3 sleepers, so we can help all of our friends out there that are doing their fantasy drafts, didn't do it early, like all my idiot buddies. They're waiting until the preseason is over. Guru, let's start with you. 2 or 3 sleepers, guys, who you feel like will exceed expectations.
Well, we're on the same page on a couple of them.
We are.
I am all in on A.J. Dillon. Absolutely love this guy. He's going to get 125-plus carries, even if Aaron Jones stays healthy all year.
Yeah.
And he's going to surprise with, like, 25, 30 grabs. I've literally asked A.J. Dillon himself, like, 9 questions. 7 of them were about his receiving. And because we know the Quadzilla can get it done carrying the rock. And you know, he swore to me multiple times that he's good in the passing game, and he's showing that. So I love him. And, well, how about Sony Michel? I'm a believer in Sony Michel. I will take Sony Michel over Daryl Henderson.
What?
I believe they have – yes, I am all in on Sony Michel.
I would not.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Man, he's had so many different injury issues, and his numbers have gone down every single year. Co.
I would go with, if you're looking for a running back, Nyheim Hines, you're getting in the double-digit rounds. I think it was the last 10 games of the season, he averaged, 11 PPR points per game.
I think we're going to see some positive touch. Actually, he had 7 touchdowns last year, too, which is really nice. He is, to me, like Austin Ekeler before Austin Ekeler blew up, when he was playing behind another Wisconsin running back in Melvin Gordon. So I really like Nyheim Hines as a double-digit round pick. And somebody that – there's a bunch of receivers that I really like late. Jacoby Myers is one. His success rate versus man coverage was great. So I actually think the passing game is going to run through Jacoby Myers. But Terrace Marshall, to me, I don't get it, man. Like, how is this dude a 14th round pick? This guy is a great athlete and a natural separator. As a matter of fact, I almost think he comes in day one as the best receiver on that squad. Like, I'm not thinking like DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson have absolutely demanded targets. I'm in love with Terrace Marshall, and to me, I think he could be either a 1A or a 1B in that passing game. So you're getting him so late. I would take him in like the 11th round. That's how much I would take him. And he's going in like the 13th, 14th. So Terrace Marshall, to me, I'll go ahead and plant the flag for him there.
Okay. All right. What do you got there, B-Bar?
All right, I got two of them. Two real quick. First one. Real quick. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, for me, people might not be as high on him in real football, but in fantasy football, I happen to think that he can excel. And for where he's getting drafted, he could be a top five guy at the end of the year.
Real quick, while you're thinking, on Sonny Michel, two stats. Highest rushing yards over expectation per attempt last year among running backs with 50 or more per Next Gen Stats. Also, 25th in PFF run grade and a surprising 4th in passing grade. I've seen this all the time. I love Sonny Michel coming out. Underwhelmed, disappointed, kicking myself. Ah, I oversold him. And then the planets align. And then I say on social media, yeah, there it is. That's what I told you about 5 years ago. I'm just saying.
He did have his best year in terms of yards per carry. He only played 9 games last year. Right. But he was actually very productive when he was on the field.
Yep.
While you're still thinking about it, I'm going to give you two guys. I think Baker Mayfield has so many weapons this year. That offensive line is one of the top 2 or 3 units in football.
I agree.
I think he's going to have a big year. I talked about Firkser a little bit. I also think in super deep leagues, take a look at Adam Humphries. He's going to be in the slot. He's going to be in the slot for Washington.
Absolutely not.
He had 105 targets in Tampa with Fitz when they were there together. That was his best season in the NFL.
Interesting.
Super deep leagues. Just somebody take a look. All right, your last one.
All right, Marvin Jones, Jaguars. I think that people are really undervaluing him. I think that Trev's going to look at him a lot. And let's not forget, because I'm a USC homer, let's not forget Amon-Ra St.
Brown. Let's go.
Please. Could lead all wide receivers in targets and catches this year in Detroit.
Gentlemen, this was a pleasure. We have a rehearsal to get to. Everybody who's listening, if you have DirecTV, please check out the Fantasy Zone. Like, subscribe to the Helipod on your podcast platform. Matthew Bubar, the guru John Hansen, and James Coe. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to work.
As if we have to rehearse, by the way.
I know. We're done.
Come on.
We're done.
We just rehearse now.
We're pros.
All right. Let's go.
Bye.